Well, this morning is one of our special services that we do a few times a year. If this is your first time here, I'm so glad you chose today to come. We've just finished a series that we've been going through for the summer called Encounters with Jesus, and we've taken about 9 weeks to look at a variety of different encounters that different people had with Jesus, and we looked at a number of issues in those people's lives and how Jesus addressed those issues. We went intentionally deeper, much deeper than just the external, visible encounter that Jesus had with these people. And we dug beneath the surface. We had an opportunity to peek into people's hearts, to look at their motives and their fears and their failures, their desires. And the goal of all that, as I said multiple times through that series, was not just so that we could gain more information about the Bible, but so that we would look inside ourselves and see what Jesus wants to do inside each of us. We've been given the Bible not just for information, but for transformation. The purpose of all of this that we're doing is not to fill up a slot on a calendar every Sunday morning. The purpose of Christianity is not so that we can get a get-out-of-hell-free card for one day, somewhere, years down the road. It is so that we can be continually, constantly transformed by Christ because we're pursuing Him. We are encountering Him day after day, moment after moment, in our lives, and we're taking all of those moments to say, God, look deep inside of me. What do you want to do in me? How do you need to change me to become more like the one I long to become like? And so this morning, as I said, is one of our special Sundays where we throw out the so-called order of service. And there's nothing sacred about that, by the way. We never want to get addicted to that or so accustomed to that that it bothers us if we don't follow the same pattern. You notice here, Sunday by Sunday, we try to change things up because we never want to get, we never want to make new traditions in the church. We want to be free to worship the Lord. And this morning, we are throwing out the order of service and we're going to take some time together as a church family. You know what families do sometimes, at least they used to when I was growing up, and I sure hope they still do? They turn the TV off, they put their phones away, and they circle up around the table and they talk as a family. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're not just a church, we're a family. And I want us to take this morning and spend time together letting you share what is on your heart, so that the whole family can hear it, so that the whole family can be edified and can be encouraged and built up. And I wonder, as you think back on this series we've just come through, these 9 weeks, is there one particular encounter that stood out to you? Is there one particular person or moment or problem or fear or struggle that we looked at in these people's lives that really just connected with you and spoke to you in some way? Maybe God used something in this series to reveal hidden fears in you that needed to be uncovered and dealt with. Maybe God used it to point out wrong thinking or attitudes, and He's been pressing in to your life on that since then, encouraging you and prompting you to bring those to Him, to let them go. Maybe He used something in this series to completely change your direction in life in one way or another. Maybe He used it to lift you up from a place where you had been struggling and battling for so long. Or maybe for you, as it did for me in such a powerful way, this series opened your eyes all over again to the incredible heart of Jesus. The love and compassion that He showed to everyone He encountered. Remember, we looked at encounters through His whole ministry right up to the time on the cross when as He was dying, He was still asking God to forgive the very ones who were putting him to death. And we saw such love flowing out of him that even the one thief on the cross couldn't stand it anymore. He had been cursing and mocking Jesus just moments before, and he was overwhelmed by the holiness and the purity and the beauty and the love and kindness and grace of this one dying next to him. And he called out and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." For me, this series just blew the lid off all over again to see the kindness and grace and love of Jesus for me, even in all of my fears and all of my failures. Can anybody say amen to that? So this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to share and to give praise to this one that we've been looking at, this one we call our Savior and our Lord. Or maybe for you, and I want to turn a bit of a corner here before we open it up to you, because I want us to have the freedom to get real with each other, church. Do you hear me? I'm so tired. I'm so weary of us Christians always wearing masks around one another. And we see each other on Sunday mornings, and I understand it's a busy time, and that's why Sunday mornings are so difficult to fellowship and really get deep, and we have other opportunities during the week for you to do that. But we see each other on Sunday mornings, and we go, "How you doing?" And what's the answer? "Fine. I'm fine. How are you?" "I'm fine." And for us men, back me up on this, that's a deep, meaningful conversation, is it not? Us guys, we struggle with this. But for all of us, we're all guilty at some level. And this is not your fault. This is the church's fault. I mean, the church in general. We're the ones who've created this atmosphere where we think we always have to be fine all the time. And we're not fine, are we, church? We're not always fine. So, I'd love to hear from some of you. Yes, to share which encounter impacted you and what God did in your life through that, but possibly also, I wonder if there'd be anybody who'd be willing to say, "You know what? I'm tired of wearing the mask. I want my church family to pray with me, to know how I'm struggling, to be able to come alongside and encourage me." And what this series exposed for me, maybe someone would say, is exactly where I am stuck. And you know what? I'm still stuck there. I'm still fighting this battle. I'm still longing for a breakthrough, but it hasn't come. It hasn't come. And I have the courage this morning to stand and say, "Church family, pray for me. I'm tired of hiding this." You know, in most people's houses, they have that one room where the door always stays closed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That room. And when guests come over, you tell the kids, "Close the door." When I started dating Sandy and began going to her parents' house, there was the room off the kitchen. I mean, I went there hundreds of times over the couple of years, and that door was always closed, and I'd be sitting at the table, and like they'd be talking, but I'd be thinking about that door. What is behind there? What are they doing? Are these people like serial killers or something? Are they hiding something back there? Is this guy like a secret government agent and he's got something? They would never let me in the room. You'd walk near the door, you want to peek in. "Phil, come in here real quick." We all have that room. By the way, there was nothing weird. It was just their laundry room. Hey, nobody wants you to see their laundry room. I don't want to see yours. But here's the thing. We've all got those rooms in our lives, don't we, folks? We just shut the door. And it's either to keep people out or it's to keep God out. And we go on year after year after year carrying the weight of that, the guilt of that. and we battle and we struggle secretly and we never break free from it. I encouraged you last Sunday by telling you God does not want you to stay there. He did not come and die so that you would have to live your entire Christian life enslaved to things like that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's someone here this morning who would just say, this series shined a light on that place in my life. Nothing has changed. I'm still longing for a breakthrough, and it hasn't come, but I want the encouragement and prayer of my church family. And being willing to share honestly about your struggles is a way to bring fresh life and hope to those around you. You know why? Because it lets them know that they're not alone in their struggles either. It is a powerful way for us not to glory in what we're struggling with, but to just be honest and free and say, you're not the only one. I love when we do these services because it gives us an opportunity to hear what's going on in each other's lives. And by the way, what we're doing this morning is biblical. Galatians 6:2 tells us, the church, to carry each other's burdens. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. How in the world can we do that if we don't know what's going on in each other's lives? Can't do it. It's just all fake church. It's just got a clear, slick coat of shellac all over it, and it looks great. But underneath, there's hurting, broken people. We've been praying that God would break through in this church. This is a church unlike any I've ever been in. And my parents were missionaries. I grew up in church planting. There's something unique about this body of believers. But we're still stuck somewhere, church. Listen to me. We're still stuck. And we're longing for that breakthrough. We're praying for that breakthrough, but it will not happen if we determine to be a church that plays games with one another and tries to play games with God. God is calling us to come and not only give Him glory for what He's doing in our lives, but be open with Him and with one another and get the slate clean. And I believe when we do that, I believe God is going to move through this church in ways we cannot imagine as we sit here right now. So I'm the one who obviously prepared these last 9 messages and brought them all. And you would think there'd still be no way after all that God could move in my life. But I'm telling you, the Word of God that we looked at these last 9 weeks powerfully moved in my life. I wonder if it did for any of you. Any one of these encounters we looked at that just spoke in a specific way to you, somehow, in some way that encouraged you and cheered you on, and God did a work. Let's hear about it.
I know there are a lot of people in here who don't know me, but I've been here since we were down in the other room back there. And I went through a 3-year battle with cancer with my husband and the death of my husband. And I just want to tell all of you new people here how faithful this church was to me and to my family. They stuck by me for 3 solid years and watched over me and my husband. And there were people who never gave up on us. And I have a tendency to go away behind that door and lock myself away and not share struggles with people a lot of times. And there were people who just never gave up on us and stayed with us through those 3 years. And then the grieving process after the death of my husband was another journey I had to take. And still, the people here were just amazing and brought me out and brought me back up to a sense of normalcy, if there is such a thing. Even to the point where, and I think this is really funny, back in the spring, this lady right here talked a group of people into coming over to my house to do yard work. And I don't think they understood what yard work meant to me. yard work means planting things because I'm an avid gardener. And these people got to my house and had to plant tomatoes and had never done that before. And I had a big boot on where I had fallen down the steps and broken my foot. And I was out there in the dirt trying to help because this lady right here knows how important that is to my soul to have that connection to gardening. And it just never ends with these people. These are the most wonderful people in the world. And this is the most wonderful church in the world. I just want to thank everybody. And the canons, I want you to know that even as far away as you were for so many years, you were always in my prayers. And I know that I was in yours too. So I just want to tell everybody thank you. And what a wonderful place this is. And I love everybody here.
Talking about your sermon series, the one that really spoke to me was the man on the map for 38 years. I was that man on that map for many, many years, and 3 years ago I moved here because of laying on that map. I was going through a divorce after 30 years, and on June 4th I laid down in the bed and took an overdose, and I woke up and I was in jail. Then they took me to the hospital, and I stayed there for 3 weeks and had electric shock treatment and everything and followed up with a doctor. I'm still on that mat. I hate life and nothing's good. And I was at my doctor's office and he actually said to me, he said, "Do you even want to get well?" And I looked at him and I thought about it and I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, you might as well leave then." So I got up and walked out and my phone buzzed in my back pocket. And I reached it with my daughter, and I was mad, but I answered it anyway. And she said, "Mom, how you doing?" I said, "Not too good." And she said, "Well, I'm going to have a baby." And that was my moment when I got off that mat. And so that one you talked about that night, that day was just overpowering to me because I haven't looked back. And then some other things happened too, so. Added bonus. But anyway, so thank you for that.
Amen.
Sermon. It was made.
God is a God who can break through any wall. He can break any chains that bind us. I hope you know that. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm one of the canons, and my family moved back about 5 weeks ago. We've been living in England for a long time, and I'm actually moving back next week for another year. And so we kind of came in on halfway through the series that Phil was doing. And it really spoke to me because it was the Lord really affirming some encounters that I've had with Jesus the past 3 years. And I just wanted to share one of them because part of walking out healing is being able to stand up and say, "The Lord's healed me." And being a testimony. So I think I'm going to make this really short because I can often speak on this for like 18 million years because it's a passion of mine. But, you know, I think a huge part of the lies that Satan brings to us, especially for women, is the image in the mirror and insecurity and control and food and dieting and exercising and binge eating and all that kind of stuff, and doctors stick eating disorder all over that. And that's something that I've struggled with for several years. And a lot of it was control, huge control in my life and fear, and it consumes your mind. It absolutely consumes your mind. And comes in a lot of different ways. And this past 3 years has been something the Lord Jesus has really taken me on a journey, really discovering who I am, but most importantly, who he is, and that he loves me, and that he loves me so much that he's going to take me, and even though it's really painful, even though it's a process of looking, having to kind of dig back in your past and bring some painful things up, and really having to surrender and step down off that throne of your life, and because it was an area that I wasn't willing to touch, it was an area I wasn't willing to change at, much like the man on the mat. You know, I was like, "Lord, I want to be healed from this, but actually I don't want to give up the control because the control feeds something inside of me that I think I need. And he was like, actually, no, I love you too much to keep you there. And it's been an incredible journey of allowing Jesus to come in my life and bring up those things hidden and facing all the lies and allowing his truth to sink in. And it's been absolutely incredible. And I just want to speak from someone because I know a lot of people struggle with this, whatever age you are, of, you know, the pressure that society puts on you, the pressure that people put on you, the expectations you have on yourself, to be someone who you aren't, to look like something that you can't, that it's not true, and that Jesus loves you and the Father loves you so much, and he's created you and you're unique and you're special and you're beautiful. And, you know, whatever's happened to you in the past, it doesn't matter, because God's going to bring you through that. God's going to heal you and he's going to take you. And even though it's so painful sometimes, and sometimes you feel like you're dying and sometimes you just want to die, the Lord's not going to keep you there because he has something better and something beautiful there at the end. So sometimes it means that you have to accept that you're a weak person. You know, I know for me, I like to be strong. I was always the one who kind of held things together. I was the oldest, you know, I grew up in the church and I was a great Christian kid, you know, but actually that wasn't who I was. I was very broken and sometimes it takes stepping out of things. But actually you can't. That's what I had to find out. I couldn't do it myself. I had to allow the Lord in, and to bring me out. So I just wanted to say that as a testimony to anyone who's struggling in that area, whether you've been labeled or whether you don't allow yourself to be labeled or anything, that the Lord can bring you out of that. He doesn't want you to stay in that place. And there is healing and there is hope.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So good to see God at work in people's lives, isn't it? Does it give you a sense of hope that whatever you're going through, you don't have to stay there? Whatever it is.
I hate to speak in public. This is so hard.
No, you don't. Come on.
That man on that mat is our son, not me. And our family is on it with him. Matthew was born 8 weeks premature. He had a brain hemorrhage when he was a week old. And because of that, he's got a form of autism. He's bipolar. He has Tourette's. He has alphabet soup. He really does. And he's gone from doctor to doctor. And when he was little, they said, he'll never read, he'll never write, he'll never have relationships. You might as well just put him in a home. And we thought we were going to be any more doctors. God wouldn't even play. And that's like a constant struggle, and we struggle with him every day. But he reads, he reads tons of books. He's a wonderful artist. He has friends, he has relationships. But it's such a struggle, and people can be so cruel. And he comes with us a lot. And I got a text from him today and said, I can't come to church today. And said, now I know why he didn't come, because I never say it in front of them. But our whole family needs prayer to lift that up and to help them along. And it gets so frustrating and so difficult to see how it was. We just need prayer for him and prayer for us.
Thank you, Cheryl. I want to ask some of our folks right now to get out of your seats right now. Come, and I want us to stand around this family and pray. Come on. You don't have to be a leader or anything. Just come. Let's gather around and let's just pray for them. Someone pray right now.
I just wanted to say that this last year has been really, it's been a tough year for just about every aspect of my life. Just when you name it, and something's been going on. And you know how it is. Sometimes some things happen, but and then later on something else happened. It seems like everything's kind of piled on all at once, from health issues, which most of you know I had heart issues last year. And I've been having reoccurring heart issues again. But one of the main things is relationship with my son has just been, it's been pretty bad for 19 years, basically. Right when it seemed like him and I finally were making a breakthrough, it didn't happen. And to the point where things are said, things are done, where I'm basically sleepless nights because it's just constantly going through my head. Just the pain of things said and done. And you know, and what this whole series, I can't pinpoint one encounter with Jesus except the fact that through all this, especially this last month, that just, you know, praying and seeking the Lord, and it seems like God's just not been there. Until Sunday mornings, when we're singing certain songs, I can't even make it through. I barely struggle to make it through because at that point in time, God shows himself to me. And I sense, you know, that he is there. And one of the things that, you know, one of the psalms that I've just been reading over and over again is Psalm 139, when it talks about, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I set on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. And so that's been very comforting to me, that even though I don't sense God while I'm going through it, I know he's there. And then those mornings that I know as we're singing songs, and it's like I've just thrown all my focus off of all the other things that are going on in life, and I just focus just on him and just giving him praise and pushing everything aside, that he is there with open arms, and I, you know, love him.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. I'm looking at the time here, and I think that's a great opportunity for us to segue into the closing part of the service that I want us to share in another way this morning, just before we sing some songs, and all of this will be a memory, it'll be behind us. We'll never be back to this moment again. And so what we have right here is truly a gift. It is a gift of time, it's a gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to call our entire church to a time of prayer right now. Prayer is, I believe, the most overlooked element in the church today. Who really needs prayer when a church has every imaginable resource at our fingertips? We have research and data and church growth experts. Who needs prayer? Who needs the Holy Spirit? We could do this. We're smart. No, we're not, folks. No, we're not. There is power in prayer. But we've forgotten that. I'm working on some messages right now for the coming weeks, and if God gives me the green light to bring this one of them is on prayer, those early believers, and how they prayed. And I'm telling you, if we can tiptoe into some of their prayer meetings and just stand in the back corner and observe, it will rattle our bones to see what God did through those people's prayer meetings. It's lost today. Jim Cimbala hit it on the head. He said, "Why are Christians fighting to get prayer back in schools? We don't even have prayer in our churches." He's right. But we don't want to be one of those statistics here. We want to pray together. We want to pray. And I don't just mean God bless Sally and Bobby and Aunt Sue and watch over us while we travel. I mean pray. Call out to God and pray. Maybe you just want to pray and give God praise for sending his son, for this beautiful one that we've looked at these last 9 weeks. Or maybe you want to cry out to him for some area in your life where you're stuck and you need healing, you need release, you need chains to be broken. Or maybe it's not even for you, as we've heard today multiple times. Maybe what's on your heart is for someone else. Maybe it's a son or daughter who's gone astray and your heart is breaking for them. Maybe it's for a husband or wife whose heart has grown calloused and cold, and your marriage is hanging by a thread, but nobody knows it. Let me tell you, everybody will know it eventually. Bring it to God now. Listen, we need to regather our senses as the church today and realize what we're missing through these moments of prayer together. There's power in prayer. There's power. We're going to the very throne of God. He said, call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Is that what you long for in your life, in your family, in this church, in this community, in this nation, and in the world? It's what I long for. Let's bow our heads right now. In this very precious moment that we have, I'm inviting anyone who wants to call out to God right now and pray whatever is on your heart. What a precious time this has been this morning. I want to thank you so much for participating, for opening up and sharing. I want to close this time in prayer. I'll invite our music team to come up and take their place. And I hope that you've been blessed and encouraged today. Father, what a privilege it is to be in a place with brothers and sisters in Christ who are all carrying struggles and issues, and yet to be able to come to you like we have this morning, to lay ourselves at your feet and call upon your mercy in our lives and your power is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. I thank you for this time. Pray that this would just be the beginning of greater things to come. Not for our name's sake, but so that you would be seen through us and through this church. We love you, Father. We don't tell you that enough. But we love you and we thank you so much for the unspeakable, indescribable gift of your Son, who, while we were still sinners, came to seek and to save us. And even when we couldn't or wouldn't reach up to him, he reached down to us, the Psalms tell us. He reached down to us, and he lifted us out of the pit, and set our feet upon a rock. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth, because of Christ. Help us to live like we really believe that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. My